Just like to take a moment to look at Jude with you. Let's turn to that book, and we'll just maybe review some things and then get into a little something more. We talked yesterday about devotion and how if we're going to contend for the faith, we have to devote ourselves. Devote ourselves to the Word of God, to study the Word of God, to meditate in the Scriptures and to pray them into our lives and put them into practice, to obey God's Word. We heard last night, because we love Him. His commandments are not grievous, because we obey out of a heart of love. It's our delight to please Him. And then we talked about fellowship, that we have to have fellowship in order to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. And we ought not to neglect that, whether it's attending a church service or getting together with other Christians. But we need to be together, to seek the Lord together, encourage one another, and to build one another up. Praise God. And we read that the manner of some is to forsake the assembling of selves together, but we're told that we should do it more and more as we see the day of the Lord's coming, drawing near. And then we talked a little bit about breaking of bread. And we spoke about communion and making much of Calvary. And looking into our hearts and keeping a short account. We want to examine ourselves regularly, daily, in the light of God's Word. And we want the Holy Spirit to shine His light into our heart and to put His finger on things that need to be brought under the blood. And where repentance is needed, we receive that grace to repent. And where reconciliation needs to be made, we want to stay on top of that. And we want to love the brethren and others and keep in the love of God. And then it talks here also about prayers, and that's what the disciples devoted themselves to, daily prayer. And that, too, is essential if we're going to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. We have to live a life of prayer. Can't get around that. And that's one thing that the enemy fights. He fights all of these things in our lives, I'm sure. And we sense that. There's a battle. That we have to put forth an effort. There's sacrifice involved here. If we're going to continue to grow in God and be built up in our inner man, if we're going to develop our relationship with the Lord Jesus and keep close to Him, we have to devote ourselves to these things. They have to become so important to us that everything else becomes second place. And many people that profess to be Christians haven't gotten there yet. They pray once in a while. They read the Word of God and so on. But to be devoted, to be fully committed, and to hold these things very dear to us, there are other interests that have not allowed that to be the case. And I hope that's not the case with us. I hope we're learning to really give ourselves to these things. I knew a young man who worked for some Jewish people. They were Orthodox Jews, and they were very strict about adhering to their law and their traditions and so on. And they closed the shop on Saturday, or at least they didn't work on Saturday. I don't know if they closed the shop. But this young man was a Christian and a devoted servant of the Lord, and he wanted Sunday off so he could get to God's house. And then there are other things that came up sometimes, other meetings, special meetings, and he would ask for time off, and they didn't exactly want to cooperate with him. And then he told them, well, you're an Orthodox Jew, I'm an Orthodox Christian. Oh, now they understood, yes. That meant to them that you're really devoted to your faith and you adhere very strictly to your laws and so on. And so the Lord gave him wisdom to proclaim himself to be an Orthodox Christian, and that sort of helped with the bosses. and they began to cooperate with him a little bit more. But we all ought to be Orthodox Christians, don't you think so?
Amen.
And really, you can grow your sideburns any way you want to, but it's in the heart that where the orthodoxy is best demonstrated. Praise God. Okay, so we're looking at Jude, and we haven't never read through that book yet, so let's do that this morning, okay? And because we have different translations, we'll read around the room, and you can read out of whatever translation you have. Amen. Thank you. Praise God. Sorry for those that didn't get a verse. We've been talking a little bit about the fact that we need to contend earnestly for the faith. And we've been doing that here at camp. We've been seeking God to bring us into that relationship that the early saints had. That we read about in the Bible. Why Jesus died. What he's after in our lives. And we've been opening ourselves up to the Holy Spirit's working, because that's the only way that we can fulfill in Christ. It has to be the work of his Spirit. And every time we sit in his presence, every time we welcome him and yield ourselves to him, we're contending for the faith, I'm sure. And we looked into our lives and we thought about the church in general and thought how far we've fallen from that early faith. And we don't see the power of God manifest on such a large scale as we read of in the Word of God. And we've just recognized that we often come to the conclusion, Lord, I don't have that as Peter had it, or this one had it, or some other disciple, but I want to know you like that. And I want to walk with you like that. I want that anointing on my life, and I want to just be a vessel in your hand that you can use at any time. I mentioned that when you read through the book of Acts, most of the manifestations of Christ's power did not happen in church gatherings, although I'm sure that did take place quite regularly. But the thing that impresses me about the book of Acts is that it's talking about people's everyday lives. As they're walking down the street, as they're on their way to the temple, they meet people in need, demon-possessed, people that are sick, people that are lost, and need to be witnessed to and instructed in the ways of God. And you see how these men and women walked with God in such a way that the touch of God was on their life, and they were ready to speak and let God use them. And God was able to flow through them. The power of God brought healing and deliverance, and God gave them the words to speak that people needed to hear, that went right into their hearts and helped them to open their souls to God. And so that's what we're looking for. We're looking for a life that is fully given to Jesus, abandoned to him, and always at his disposal. And we have to nurture that in our lives. That just doesn't fall upon us. It's something that we develop as we do the things that we have been talking about. And we mentioned that we can, from the first few verses, go right to the end of the book. And there he shows us how to contend for the faith. And yesterday we spoke a little bit about one of the first things we need to do is build ourselves up. If you don't build yourself up, then you have nothing to offer anybody else. I overheard one of our brothers speaking to someone, and he said, you know, when you get on an airplane, they always tell you, in case of an emergency, when that oxygen mask falls down, put it on yourself first, and then take care of your children or others. If you're not getting sufficient oxygen, you're not going to be able to help anybody else. If you're getting no oxygen, you're not going to be able to help anybody in a short time. You have to take care of yourself first of all. And we realize that. The Apostle Paul told Timothy, save yourself first, and then you can minister to others more effectively. And sometimes we neglect ourselves and our own spiritual life in an effort to help others. And we find that there's no help there at all. It's just a lot of work. It's just a lot of effort. I've experienced that too many times in my life, where you try so hard to minister, to help, and you realize the Lord's touch isn't in that. There's no power there. There's no unction. And it's just words to people. And it doesn't really help them. You can pray for people and you don't have that anointing or that faith behind it. You go through the motions, you mean well, but you realize that it's coming out of an empty well, and people are not really getting the real help that they need. And so you've got to build yourself up first of all. You've got to keep yourself in union, in touch with Christ, and nurture that union with the Lord. And as you keep under that anointing, then as the opportunity arises, we can be a blessing to others. Now here it says that we're to build ourselves up on our most holy faith, and we talked a little bit about that. There's, of course, so much more that could be said. And then it goes on and it says, praying in the Holy Ghost. Well, I'm sure that you can't separate that from building yourself up on your most holy faith. But here the emphasis is on prayer. That we, if we're going to contend for the faith, if we're going to be all that God wants us to be and keep growing in the Lord, we need to learn to pray in the Holy Ghost. And that means to pray in the Spirit. That means to pray by the anointing of the Holy Ghost, yielding yourself to the Spirit of God in prayer, entering into fellowship, communion with God. You know, people have funny ideas about prayer. Prayer is just asking God for things. Sometimes people have a prayer list, they call it. And it's good to write down things that we need to pray about. And I handed out a paper the other day, things that we can pray about in connection with being filled with the Holy Spirit. I took that out just yesterday. And as I sat in my comfortable chair there in that room, I just began to pray over each one again. Lord, take away that distance between my soul and Jesus. Perfect that union between us. And then I went on. And there was good for me and to be reminded of those things and to hold them before the Lord. And so there's nothing wrong with a prayer list. Sometimes people ask you to pray for them and you forget. And then they thank you. Oh, thank you for praying. It was such a... Lord answered in such a wonderful way. Were you supposed to tell them you forgot, or what do you do? You say, well, praise God. And then you go and you try to... And then you say, well, Lord, you're not limited by time, so I'm going to pray now, and you use that prayer before you meet the need, or whatever. I don't know if you can do that. But that's why it's good to write things down once in a while and pray. And as ministers in the ministry, there's so many needs that come to your attention. Sometimes it's overwhelming. Pray for this, pray for that. And so prayer lists, I'm not against prayer lists. Especially if my name's on it. I like that. I need that. But there's more to prayer than praying a laundry list. We know that. There's more to prayer than just reciting prayers. To some people, prayer is just reciting things that have been written down for them. In certain denominations, that's how people pray. But real prayer in the Holy Ghost, that's a different matter. That's getting alone with Jesus, and that's entering into fellowship with Him first of all. That beautiful garden of prayer we sang about. What is that garden? That's the place where Jesus awaits and opens the gates. He's waiting for us there. You know, you can always meet God in prayer. Now, we don't always maybe feel something. Often we do. If we spend time, God settles us. His peace starts to come into our hearts. We begin to sense His presence, and we worship Him. You know, that's how we always ought to approach prayer. First of all, I'm coming to meet Jesus. We'll talk in a minute, but right now I just want to get into His presence. I want to tell Him that I love Him. I want to open my heart to Him. I come to prayer knowing that He knows what I need better than I know myself. So I don't have to run in there and tell Him what He doesn't know. He knows. He knows my need before I ask Him. He knows my need before I know anything about it. And He's waiting for me to come and just spend time with Him. Give Him an opportunity to speak to me and to minister. And so we don't rush into prayer. We come and we begin to just turn our attention to the Lord. Sometimes our mind is so full of other things, and it takes time to just let those things drain, and then we get our eyes on the Lord. And you begin to worship Him, and sometimes you enter into such a sweet fellowship with Jesus that you never got to mention any of the things that you needed, but you just walk away knowing that He's taking care of it. That's true. I didn't even get a chance to tell Him about that thing, but somehow He knew all about it, and He gives me the assurance that He's taking care of it. Just go in His name and commit it to Him and see the great things that God can do. And so we want to come to prayer with that attitude. Lord, I've come to meet You. Most important. What good is it for me to just say a bunch of words if I don't make contact with Jesus, if I don't recognize His presence? And then, as we worship Him there, the Holy Spirit begins to direct us in prayer. In Romans chapter 8, which is a very familiar passage to us, it talks about prayer there and the working of the Holy Spirit. And it says there that we don't know what to pray for as we ought. And that's true. Only God really knows what we need. You know, we'll be praying about a lot of things that aren't so important when there are greater needs in our lives. Only God knows what He wants to do with our life, what His purpose is. He allows us to go through things and we can't make heads or tails of what's going on. But God has a purpose. God's working on something in our life. And when we've come to pray, we want to pray that God's will be done. We want to pray according to His will. And that's why we need the Holy Spirit to direct us. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered, cannot be put into words. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to His purpose. Those verses go together. That work, all things working together for the good of those that love God, is connected with praying in the Holy Ghost. If God is going to work these things together for our good and according to His purpose, He's going to fulfill His purpose in our life, then we need to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit in prayer. And it's interesting here, it says that the Holy Spirit will pray through us with groanings that cannot be put into words. And people have tried to help us to understand what that means. Some people have said, well, that's praying in tongues. Well, perhaps that thought is there. Those are words, of course, coming over our lips, but maybe a heavenly language that the Holy Spirit has given. And we don't understand what we're saying, perhaps, but we just have the sense that we're praying, the Spirit is praying through us and praying for the things that He sees we need according to what God has purpose for our lives. Well, it's good to do that. It's good to yield yourself to God and pray in tongues if God uses you that way. And just direct your attention to Him and open your soul to God and let God pray through you. That's important. If God leads you that way, you ought to yield yourself like that. But here it talks about groanings that can't be put into words. That speaks of a burden that comes upon us. Have you ever been in prayer and you just feel a burden weighing on your heart and you just hold that before the Lord? And you just can't put into words how you feel or
or can't express what's going on in your soul, but you just hold it before God. Oh God, God, God. And as you do, you begin to sense that burden lift after a while. And you feel that somehow the Holy Ghost has been praying that thing through for you in your life. Sometimes prayer is silent like that. It's not how many words you say, and it's not how eloquently you express yourself. But sometimes it's just getting into the presence of God and not saying a word, but just being kept there until the Spirit of God relieves that burden upon your heart. It's holding something before the Lord. That's what prayer is. It's taking a need and holding it before God. Some people talk about their needs. Some people worry about their needs. Some people try to figure out how to solve their own problems. But prayer is bringing that need to God and just holding it before Him. As we pray, the Holy Spirit will direct us. He will give us words to pray as well. And I've noticed that in prayer meetings sometimes. People begin to pray, and there's such an anointing that comes upon them, and they end up praying things that they had not considered praying for, or in ways that they hadn't considered expressing themselves. But you just sense that God is directing them to pray. And we've often asked the Lord in meeting, Lord, now as we go to prayer, we pray that you'll help us to pray in the Holy Ghost. Some people always pray about the same things in prayer meeting. Or they feel they have to pray down their list. And sometimes that's hard to follow. You ever in a prayer meeting when someone prays and prays and prays and prays, and by the time they're done, everybody's exhausted. You know, prayed for their grandmother, they prayed for the church and Sunday school, they prayed for the government, they prayed for everybody in the hospital. And by the time they're done, it's like, well, if that was in the Holy Ghost, then I've got a lot to learn. You know, we ought to let the Lord lead us in our praying. And sometimes we find that when the Lord really takes over, He'll cause one person to pray about something. Then He'll raise up another one to pray about that same thing. And we join together, united, and we go after this one need that the Lord is working on until we pray it through somehow, and then the Holy Spirit can lead us on to other things. And so we want to learn that. Lord, I just don't want to just be in the natural and just pray about things that I think I need to. But Lord, as I do, I pray that you'll help me to be open to the Holy Spirit's unction, that He can pray through me. And if I come with my list and the Lord only puts His finger on one thing on that list, well, let me give God the liberty to do that. He knows better than I do. And so that's the thought there when you pray in the Holy Ghost, when you say, Lord, I don't really know what I need to pray. I need the Holy Spirit to pray through me. I need Him to direct me in my praying. I need Him to anoint me in my praying. I need Him to fill me with faith as I pray. We're absolutely dependent upon the Spirit of God. And here it says, God, He knows the mind of the Spirit. Is that how it's expressed, or is it the other way around? Let's see. He that searcheth the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he always prays according to the will of God. That union between the Father and the Spirit there, it's perfect. And if we depend on the Holy Spirit to anoint us and to lead us in our praying, we know those prayers are going to go through, because he's praying according to the will of God all the time. And so let's depend on him in prayer. There's just another verse, again, very familiar to us in Ephesians chapter 6, where the Apostle Paul talks about the armor of God. And he talks about all these pieces of armor that we need to clothe ourselves with, because we're engaged in a great battle, not against flesh and blood, but principalities, powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. That's verse 12. Take on the whole armor of God, that you may stand against, that you may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And then he goes down through the armor, and in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication, and there it is again, in the Spirit. All prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. It says in the NIV, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Pray in the Spirit. Praise God. So each time the Bible talks about prayer, it connects it with the Holy Spirit. The prayer is a work of the Spirit in our lives. And we have to recognize the need of that and make room for that. And then there's one other verse in Ephesians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5. It was quoted to us the other day. It's one of the shortest verses in the Bible, but it will take your whole life to to do it. And that's pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And that gives us, again, some insight into prayer. Prayer is not just talking to God. It's not just asking requests, bringing requests to the Lord. It's a communion with the Holy Ghost. It's just keeping your soul open and in touch with the Lord. Sometimes it's worship. Sometimes it's requests. Sometimes it's just silence and directing your heart to the Lord Himself. But it's entering into that fellowship. And it's not limited to times on your knees or times in church or when you get alone in your room. But we can learn to yield ourselves to God all the time, while you're working, while you're playing, while you're engaged in other activities. In our hearts, we can still keep in touch with the Lord and keep directing our attention to Him. And just holding our needs before Him. Sometimes God leads us to fast and pray. That act of fasting is a way of just holding your need before the Lord all the time. And that's what God wants us to get hold of. For our young people and all of us, we need to learn to live a life of prayer. Live a life of prayer, not just pray, but really learn to live that life, the life of communion, and that life of just trusting that the Spirit of God within us will bring the needs of our life before the Lord, and that God will hear and answer and do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. I know this is just a general talk on prayer, and it's probably nothing you haven't heard before. But I don't usually tell anybody anything they haven't heard before. I just remind them of the important things as God puts them on my heart too. And you know, we all know that the enemy fights against prayer in our life. You know that very well. Prayer sometimes is a hard exercise, and you'd rather do something else because maybe you feel that if I spend this time in prayer, it's going to be dry, and I don't always feel that unction or anointing. I don't always feel that sweet fellowship when I pray. And so I like those times, but the other times I'm not so interested in. It's a discipline. And as we give ourselves to prayer and just spend time in the before God, we find that God develops something in our souls, and then it's easier to touch Him, and it's easier to enter into the flow of the Holy Spirit. And so don't get discouraged. God has a wonderful life of communion for you in prayer, and but you've got to learn to develop that in your life. And we can lose that too if we're not careful. And so let's learn to be regular about prayer. Spend time with God every day. Open the Word of God and just pray over the Bible. Just spend time waiting on God. Just spend time worshiping Him at home. Sometime in the morning, some people do better at night. If you have a few minutes during the day that you can just get alone with Jesus, do it. Do it. And you'll find that as you practice that, the Lord will open your soul and make you more sensitive to His Spirit's working. Praise God. And that's one way in which we contend for the faith. That's one way in which we keep ourselves in that life that God has brought us into and wants to develop within us. And so build yourself up on your most holy faith. Get into the Word of God. Get to the house of God. Get to examine your heart and to make sure that everything's under the blood and that you're walking in the light. But he also mentions there, and they devoted themselves to prayer. And here Jude reminds us of that too. Praying in the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And so let's ask the Lord to help us today. We have time yet to continue in this meeting. Maybe there are others that have something to say. We certainly want to touch the Lord and we want to open our hearts to His presence. Lord, we pray today that you will open our eyes to see our absolute need of this communion with God, this time of being in His presence daily. And we pray that you'll enable us to devote ourselves to that. We can't discipline ourselves sufficiently. We need the help of the Holy Spirit along all these lines. And Lord, I pray that you will develop within every one of us. You know where we are at this point in our life, our experience. But Lord, take us from where we are and bring us deeper into a life of prayer. Make us more consistent. Lord, we pray that you'll make us more open and sensitive to the work of the Holy Ghost. Teach us how to depend upon the Holy Spirit in prayer. We pray for that unction. We pray for the leading of the Holy Ghost. We pray, Lord, for the ability to wait upon God and just know that God is working, that God is answering, that God is making way to show forth His glory and all these things that concern us. But more importantly, Lord, we pray that prayer will be giving God a chance to do what concerns Him and what's important to Him in our lives, even so much that we don't even understand. But prayer is your opportunity. When we give you time, Lord, to work, God, there's no telling what you can accomplish. And so we just pray, draw us to prayer, Lord. Remind us to pray. Every opportunity we have to open our souls in meeting to God, help us to give ourselves wholeheartedly to that. And Jesus, teach us how to pray in the Holy Ghost. We ask it in your precious name. Amen.